The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, George Egg is a comedian and a cook. Since 2015, he has written, produced and performed four live Cooking with Comedy shows. All four shows enjoyed sell-out runs at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe and went on to tour both nationally as well as overseas. Well, he's now written a book called The Snack Hacker and he's here to tell us about it. Welcome to the show, George.
Hello.
Great to have you with us.
Well, it's very nice to be here.
I'm intrigued as to how cookery and comedy works together. Do you cook on stage?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's a bit nuts. So I cook on stage, but in an unconventional fashion. So I basically cook real food, good stuff as well. It's not some kind of clowny chucking flour about, you know, it's real food where people come up to me afterwards saying, oh, can you remind me how you did that dressing? It was really nice. But I don't use conventional kitchen equipment. So I've done several shows where they've all been in different environments. So the first one was essentially a guide on how to cook in your hotel room. So using irons, trouser press, kettle, hairdryer,
etc. Oh, my goodness, we don't condone things like that. You could set the hotel on fire.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, well, hopefully not. But, yes, it's all done, you know, kind of slightly tongue-in-cheek. But then, I mean, you know, a kind of as a way of getting people to think outside the box. So maybe they're not going to recreate exactly what I do, but it's going to get people thinking, okay, maybe, you know, thinking a bit more sort of divergently. So yeah, so I did a show about cooking in a hotel room. I did one about cooking with power tools, so hot air guns, wallpaper strippers, blow torches, that kind of thing. And then I did one about cooking on the move, so using a car engine, and I had a car engine on stage running that I cooked on.
Oh my goodness. And it actually worked. You can actually cook with these items.
Yeah. I mean, it's real live cooking. And yeah, and then in the live shows, at the end of the show, the food is taken out, put on a table, and as the audience leaves, there's a big pot of disposable wooden forks, and the audience get to, if they want to, at their own risk, taste what I've cooked.
So they know.
And as I say, people, yeah, and people, and you know, as I said, people do say, yeah, can you remind me what you did with that aubergine? Oh, it was really nice.
Fantastic. I think it's great fun. I'm looking at a picture of you actually on the internet and you've got a power tool, looks like a drill with a whisk on the end.
Well, there you go. There classic. You go. Classic George Egg.
Very, very classic George Egg. So in this book then, The Snack Hacker, have you got all these rule-breaking recipes in there?
So The Snack Hacker is kind of slightly different. So that basically I did the comedy, the cooking with power tools and so on live shows, for a number of years. And then, when, the pandemic happened, all the theaters closed and I couldn't get on stage. And after about 5 or 6 months of kind of enjoying the fact that I didn't have to go anywhere, I got a bit frustrated and thought, oh, I want to start doing something with food and entertaining and so on like that. So I started putting out videos on my Instagram account, called the series Snack Hacker with George Egg. And and so the kind of premise of those videos was more less about cooking with power tools or whatever, but more about stuff that people could actually recreate, and chiefly taking existing food items, you know, sort of, you know, fast food kind of things like KFC and McDonald's and pot noodles and blah, 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 and going, oh, right, what can we do with these to make them a bit more gourmet, a bit more interesting, kind of emulating other recipes. Say, for example, taking a McDonald's chicken sandwich and turning it into a kind of version of coronation chicken by adding flaked almonds and a bit of curry powder and some coriander and a squeeze of lemon, and, you know, and actually, you know, seriously making delicious versions of these kind of existing sort of fast food standards. And I mean, those videos got, and which I'm still making, and yeah, if anyone wants to find me at George Egg on Instagram, then they'll find all the videos there. And they got a lot of traction, loads of views, well, millions of views, frankly. And then off the back of that, I got a book deal. And so the book, The Snack Hacker, is basically 90 plus recipes in that vein. So things that sort of, so yeah, I've called it rule breaking recipes because yeah, a lot they're kind of yeah using unusual items or things you wouldn't necessarily expect to go with other things, but thought of in a very serious kind of chef flavor kind of minded way, so that it's not yeah it's not like a gimmick, but it is real tasty dishes at the end of it.
Yeah, I was reading actually about deep fried pot noodle. I assume you don't put the whole pot noodle in there with the pot. you just yeah. put the noodles in there, because that'd just be silly, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be silly, potentially poisonous
and very dangerous.
Yeah, tremendous. No, so deep fried pot noodle. Oh, that's I love that one. That's one of my favourites. So. That is based on in Holland, in the Netherlands. You get a lot of sort of Indonesian-inspired dishes from when Indonesia was colonized by the Dutch, and so those kind of sort of fusion flavors sort of happen in the sort of national cuisine. And there's a snack called apologies in advance to any. Dutch listeners who are going to say that pronunciation is wrong, but Bammeschaefer, I think, is how it's pronounced. And it's essentially a kind of sort of cake, like a sort of a croquette of cooked noodles, sort of spicy noodles, which is then breaded and deep fried. And it's absolutely delicious. And so I had the idea of kind of recreating a version of that using a pot noodle. So to the pot noodle, I add some peanut butter, some hot sauce, some coriander. I think, I'm trying to remember what else is in that one. Crushed sesame snaps. So you get that kind of sweet sugar and the bitterness of the sesame, which, and again, all those kind of sort of Southeast Asian flavors working together, getting a kind of satay vibe going on. And you make the pot noodle with less water than normal, compact it all down in the pot, put it in the fridge, and it sets solid. And then you can slice discs of it, dip those in flour, egg and breadcrumbs, deep fry them. And honestly, that with a cold beer is it's so good. It's one of my it's really delish.
I have to say, without even deep frying it, a pot noodle is one of my guilty pleasures. I do like a pot noodle.
It does hit the spot.
It does.
And hey, I tell you what though, I want you to rename it pleasures, because I always I talk in the book about sort of guilty pleasures, saying how there shouldn't be guilt or shame. There's no food snobbery, you know. I'm really passionate. I get quite evangelical about the sort of, you know, that people shouldn't be ashamed of, like, oh, I like a bit of this, I like a bit of that. It's like there's no, you know, you eat what you want.
Yeah. Well, your cooking is definitely unpretentious. Nobody could say it's pretentious cooking. Definitely not.
Good.
And can you do anything with a baby bell, a mini baby bell?
Yeah, of course.
So can I've you tell me recipe. Now on air, or shall we speak about it privately?
Yeah. If we could just, I'll email you privately. No. So I've got a recipe in. So this is a really interesting one. So a number of years ago, before the pandemic, I was asked to do an event in Toronto, which was it was for a whiskey company. It was a kind of PR thing, and they wanted me to come up with a load of recipes that combined the foods of Scotland and Canada, because it was a Burns Night event and it was a Scottish whiskey company. And so one of the dishes I did was a poutine dish, you know, so the chips with gravy and cheese curds on top. But I did a kind of Scottish version and I made a haggis gravy and then I used Scottish blue cheese and it was really delicious. However, the Scottish blue cheese was a little bit too itchy. So in the book, I've got a similar thing, but it uses baby bells as the cheese element with the poutine. So it's a haggis gravy, just oven chips with a bit of extra kind of spice and flavour on, and then chopped up or ripped up baby bells put on top, which kind of softened down in the heat of the hot gravy. And it's I'm in danger of, with every recipe I do, saying, oh my goodness, it's delicious. But do you know what? Oh my goodness, it's delicious.
It sounds lush. It really does. And one of my pleasures, not guilty pleasures, one of my pleasures is a fish finger sandwich. And I believe you do a fish finger spaghetti.
Yes. It's another of my favourites. I told you I'm in danger of saying
they're all your favourites.
It really is, though. I know. It's like they're all my children. It's like, choose your favourite one. I can't do that, can I? It's, so fish finger spaghetti. So this was fun. We were, me and my wife were having one evening a spaghetti dish with, it's kind of quite a gourmet thing. It was, I can't remember if it was crab or prawn, but anyway, and it was with sort of lots of chili and lots of fennel seed and all those kind of nice sort of aniseedy flavors going on. And then on top we had pangrattato, you know, deep fried breadcrumbs to get a nice bit of texture. Anyway, and I was just thinking about, and thinking, well, you know, you've got the fish element in the crab or the prawn or whatever. You've got the breadcrumbs. And I thought, well, you've got fish and breadcrumbs already in fish fingers. So, yeah, essentially what you do with this recipe is really simple. You get a packet of fish fingers, lightly oil them, bake them in the oven. And I would bake them for a bit longer than normal because you want to get a nice bit of colour and a nice bit of crunch to contrast with the spaghetti and everything else. And then while you're cooking your spaghetti, in a generous amount of olive oil, you do loads of garlic, a lot of red chilli, pop in a star anise and some fennel seeds to get that lovely kind of, you know, aniseedy flavour going on. A bit of tomato puree, a bit of fish sauce to enhance the fishiness of the fish fingers, loads of parsley, and then when the fish fingers are done, cook your spaghetti, mix it all together. When the fish fingers are done, chop them up really small, so, you know, put them on a board, get a knife and just go until they're really kind of like a crumb. Mix that in, and the oil, which has been kind of dyed red by the chili and the bit of tomato puree and the Thai fish sauce in there, makes it a little bit more runny. And then the fish gets kind of dyed that sort of pinky color, so it's almost feels like sort of crab or prawn. And you've got the crunch of the breadcrumbs on the fish fingers as well, and the colors, the orange, the green. Honestly, are you ready? I'm in danger of saying it again, but I'm going to say it again.
Go on, say it.
My goodness, it's delicious.
It's one of my faves.
It is one of my faves.
Bless you. And are you still doing the shows, George?
Yeah, I am. I mean, you don't know what my voice is like normally, but it's slightly croakier than it is ordinarily because I just got back from Glastonbury yesterday.
And, you didn't. Fantastic.
Yeah, and I was doing the live show there, which was very nice. So I'm still doing the live shows. Lots of book promotion at the moment because, you know, it was only published just over 3 weeks ago. Did you know that it was an instant Sunday Times bestseller as well?
I did actually, and I've got it written down. I was going to say congratulations at the end to you, but you've done it yourself.
I'm plugging away here, aren't I?
I don't blame you. No, it's honestly kudos to you. It's well deserved. It's brilliant, and to be at Glastonbury performing, I mean, that's also kudos. That's great.
Oh, I love it. I've been going since I'm 52. I had to remember how old I am. I'm 52 now. I've been performing at Glastonbury almost every festival since I was 19, initially doing a kind of street entertaining act, then doing stand up, and in the more recent years doing my cooking show. And yeah, I love it. It's the best festival in the world.
Sounds great. So if our listeners want to come and see you, is it on your Instagram page if you're doing any more shows?
Yeah. So my Instagram, which is @GeorgeEgg, it's got in my profile, it's got links to everything. So it's got links to the book. It's got links to my podcast. I do a podcast called Stuffed with another chef called Martin O'Dell, his Instagram is Lagom Chef. And we talk about food every week. And yeah, it's kind of funny and silly, but it's, again, it's kind of, you know, there's a serious point to it that we're really into our food and flavor. And all the details of everything is all on the all on my Instagram profile, so everyone can find everything there.
Excellent. Well, I love the sound of this book and the shows. And somebody else who loves it is Harry Hill, who says the book will make your cooking much more enjoyable. That's nice to know, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. No, I got some lovely support from people in. Well, what's nice, because I started out, well, I still do comedy, but, you know, my kind of roots are in comedy. And then as I've moved into the food world, I've kind of, got just some very supportive people from both. So, yeah, I've got some nice quotes on the book from chefs like Tim Anderson and Tim Hayward. And then, comedians like Harry Hill and James Acaster and Joe Lycett, and very nice. What a lot of lovely supportive friends I've got.
It makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? That's the thing.
Oh, too right.
Well, I'm a big supporter. I'm a big fan now. For our listeners, the book is out now. It came out 5th of June. It's called The Snack Hacker, Rule-Breaking Recipes for Cooks and Non-Cooks, which I like because I'm a non-cook. And it's by George Egg, who we're chatting to now. George, it's been an absolute delight. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you ever so much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
See ya.